What's up, guys? Chris Mead back for another episode of My Biggest Lessons. I have a good friend, Kenny Hayesfield, on from Kenny Flowers. What's up, man?
How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show and getting it live in New York City.
Oh, first live one ever.
No way.
Thanks for being the first.
Well, dude, I'm honored to do it. It brings me back. I haven't been in New York in a while.
Dude.
Really, like when I started Kenny Flowers back in 2015, my first trip back, like this is where I was selling shirts. It was like friends' apartments, their buddies, duffel bags, like the full deal.
Dude, we were staying in Bolton, Soho, and I got fired from right before we started CrossNet.
Yeah.
The two streets up is where I used to work. Fired me. I remember walking around Soho just so miserable. I had like $900 in my bank account. No idea what I was going to do with my life. Hey. And it's like coming back here, it's like, all right, we got some more money. We could actually enjoy it. It's crazy.
I know. That's when good things happen.
You're right.
Back against the wall.
2015. Mm-hmm. Kenny Flowers starts. Where are you in life? Like, talk to me through it.
Yeah, I mean, I was a couple years out of college working that cushy corporate job.
Yeah.
Wearing my dad's Hawaiian shirts on the weekends.
Okay.
You know, Instagram, Snapchat was starting to get a little bigger back then. And I just found myself in this spot where like I loved wearing these shirts. I was getting called out by buddies literally for wearing the same shirt every weekend.
Okay. Where are you getting the shirts from?
Like my dad's closet.
Okay.
Literally. And there's like one I'd wear every weekend.
So
it started getting ridiculous. And I was like, I just don't know where to find new ones. I was looking around the room and I was like, you know what? All my buddies, like I'm in consulting, they're in iBanking, they're working miserable hours. Okay. Like we're in our 20s, we got to enjoy a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just kind of saw this opportunity pretty quickly and early on where I was like, you know what? Like I love wearing these shirts. It's time for a new wave. And I think it's something they can do. Like got to loosen everybody up a little bit from the grind.
That's crazy. So you just graduated college at that point or what?
I graduated in 2012.
Okay.
I was working in Boston, moved to New York, like a couple years into that gig. And I just, you know, I want to say it was like fall 2014, the idea for Kenny Flowers came around. And like, I'm sure it's kind of like with you, it's like all of a sudden you get this idea that's not just like, is this the next app? Is this the next idea? I want to start a business. You're like, wait, no, this is the one. Like,
how long did it take from the idea, the moment that you're like, okay, this could actually be a business to like you actually starting it?
I mean, mentality wise, like it made sense. Like I could actually see it happening. It took a few months of kind of like lofting it out there, like conversations with friends, people saying, oh, what do you do for work? I started to be like, you know what? I'm thinking about quitting my job, actually moving to Bali, make some, you know, next wave of Hawaiian shirts.
That's and, crazy.
People were receptive to it. Like, you know, people would laugh and they'd be like, wait a second, that's a good idea.
Okay.
And there are people saying, yeah, but every guy only needs one Hawaiian shirt for like that party a year, that vacation.
Yeah.
And I was just seeing on the other side where it's like, people want more. Like you're getting caught on camera more through Instagram, through Snapchat. Like you're seeing your friends, not just when you're in person, but online every day.
It makes you feel cool. And like, it makes you stand out a little bit. Why wear the same? I wear the same damn black shirt every day. It's like, I wish I had more Kenny Flowers.
Yeah. I mean, I really think it's just like, you put a shirt on, you're setting the tone for the type of day you want to have. Like, you don't put a Hawaiian shirt on and say, I'm going to be like in a bad mood or not enjoy what I'm getting into today.
No, exactly. So, you had the idea about 2-3 years after college, right? Mm-hmm. You went to college for what?
I was economics, international relations.
So walk me through that.
Yeah.
You spend all this money to go to UNC or college loans, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're sitting there, you're making, let's call it 80, 90 grand, hopefully, maybe less, maybe more.
Yeah.
How do you justify, hey, I'm going to leave this job. I spent 4 years at college to go make t-shirts.
Oh, I mean, it made literal no sense to like a quick observer. And I got to thank my dad for it because I came to him with this idea.
Okay.
And he kind of told me like, wait, you just got a promotion at this job. You're living in the city. You're having fun with your friends. Like, everything seems to be going well. Like, what? Like, are you sure you want to do this? And if so, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly.
Get comfortable with the worst case scenario. Understand what that is. And if you're good with it, then go for it. And like, don't think about that again.
And how much cash did you have in the bank at the time?
I had saved up through my like consulting career. It was like $12,000 that was like poured into the business. That was the first few hundred shirts, the first few months living in Bali. And I mean, yeah, the first round was like pre-order online, selling out of duffel bags when I was visiting friends in New York and LA. And that's really what got it started. And then it was my friends that carried the gambit, wore them out.
Why Bali? Why did you make that connection?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had like a calling to Bali, a kind of crazy story, but my grandma moved there like 20 years ago. She's like the original expat and like,
really?
Yeah, like all this like digital nomad, like work from wherever in the world. She just like upped and moved from West Palm Beach, Florida to Bali in 2001.
By herself?
Yeah.
So that's by so herself. Random.
And like good for her. She could go live like an island queen, kind of carved out her own way of enjoying life. And that really, you know, we went on a family trip back in like 2013.
To go see her.
Yeah. And like my mind was just blown. This is my first time like a third world country. This is my first time like really seeing anything of this sort. Yeah. And like I was at the time I was in high school and like, you know, you're thinking, oh, where do I want to go to college? You're not thinking, is it possible to go to college? You're not thinking, hey, even if I do well in school, I'm going to go help my family in the rice field for $2 a day. And I started seeing that and like connecting with kind of like kids at my age then, went back, started a nonprofit organization focused on helping kids go to college over there. And it just, we went there, my buddy and I, we like interviewed these kids. We chose like the people and saw them go through this 1 year English computer skill class that just changed their life. And like, we thought it might be like a one-time effort, like a senior year in high school thing that we did.
Yeah.
And it just stuck with us. And like, we're still doing it to date. And that's just like what gave me this connection to that island, that place.
Okay.
I knew there was, obviously it's tropical. Obviously it's fun. It fits the brand of Kenny Flowers. Of course. And for me, it was super exciting because I could create a product that really embodied what the brand was about in every thread, that good energy, that, you know, the karma that we felt was there and like everything just going forward, bringing Bali to people, even if it's like, they're not going there themselves.
Of course. How do you make the connection with the manufacturer? Like actually meeting them in person the first time?
I mean, I got on the ground, like, you know, New York's expensive to live here. I could not see myself like emailing from an apartment, waiting months for samples. Like that was not in my DNA. I was not really in the position where I knew enough about fashion. I didn't know anything about like fashion production when I got started. It was like no business plan. I got to go to Bali, figure it out on the ground there. So I started going to fabric shops. I scoured through hundreds, found some super cool, like enough to make 50 shirts type of like designs and started asking around for good factories there. Went through like three or four like samples, rounds like that. And like by sample rounds, like I mean, like within a week, because I was there and I could show up and I could say, hey, like, I'll hang out here. I'll watch you make the shirt. I want to know how you make a shirt. And we found the one and we've been using the same guy ever since. At the time, it was like an 8 to 10 person boutique factory. Now we've like helped grow his economy, grow his business. There's like 50, 60 people working on Kenny Flower shirts now. And it's like 100% us.
That's so cool. Damn, dude. Any initial sort of like a lot of the people listening to the show, right? Like starting their e-commerce business, maybe they're creating a clothing brand, maybe they're not. Like, what are some of the war stories where you're like, damn, I wish I didn't do this? Like for me, I'll give you an example, right?
Yeah, let's hear.
First time we ever got CrossNets imported.
Yeah.
I forgot to put a double box around it, right? So we had the retail packaging. We forgot to have the brown shippers behind it. I opened up the container. Every single box is pierced. The poles are sticking out. I have to repackage everything. Everything's destroyed. Man. The nets are ripped. It was wasted, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000 just like right there that we just had to repackage. And like that could have destroyed the business.
Oh,
you
know? For sure.
But the shit was already sold. Thank God. It was already sold on Shopify. Like, we had already made the pre-sales. So like,
now we got to email some customers, make sure they're okay with a little more delay.
Yep. So any t-shirt stories, war stores?
Oh, I mean, at least you like got the product over here.
Right.
I was in Bali. I was so focused on like the product. I was not thinking about like the brand. I was not thinking about logos. It got to a point where like the shirts were basically ready and the guy's like, so we need to put tags on it. And I'm like, I don't have a Kenny Flowers logo yet. So I think it like, it just comes back to like, you're getting started. You're so heads down. You're giving it your all. You're just not going to know everything that you need to have on your checklist. Like even now, like I'm sure you guys have like a launch checklist and every time there's like three new things that didn't come up that were on that 100%. List. And you're like, okay, that goes on the next time. So you really just got to get your feet on the ground, like get it going, figure out the F ups early on. My, our best-selling shirt, we only made like 50 of them. At the time. And it was like fabric that we like found over there in this like vintage shop. So it was such a bummer because everyone was asking about this shirt. Like, hey, that's the one I want. And we were sold out of that one. And like, we never really brought it back. We're considering doing like an 8-year reunion or something.
How do you think about inventory planning? So like, you have all these different SKUs now, right? And now you're doing the women's line. Like, how does that, where do you start? Like, are you making them on demand or?
Yeah. I mean, it started out like, you know, each year it's a different business. Like, when it was year one, year two, it was me WhatsApping the guy, hey, we need like 100 more of this design. Like, or I would be there and just walk in and be like, how much fabric do we have? Can we get these like in a shipment ASAP? As we've built out, I mean, we're deep in SKUs now. Like we've grown from just being like a shirt for guys into like a modern resort wear brand,
yeah.
Which means like we have female customers that want to see like new bikini styles every year in our new prints. And like you start multiplying things, getting into sizes, like
it's fun.
It's a lot headache, going on. So we now have a forecaster. It's a little out of my phone and WhatsApp when we're placing orders. Yeah. There's legit POs and whatnot now. But yeah, I mean, I would say for us, like it's really been the past couple years. I mean, COVID, 2020, 2021, like e-commerce business is like popped.
Yeah.
And like before that, things were like pretty like manageable within numbers. If you mess something up, if you miss order like a little bit, there's like more room for error and you're kind of like, okay, and you keep going. But like now we're like operating, you know, like at a stage where it's like if you overinvest in a specific style or you don't buy enough of something, like that can sway your business in a given like month or year.
Bro, yeah, we brought two inflatable products in this year. One of them crushed.
Yep.
One of them is doing so terribly. Yeah. So I have like $80,000 worth of inventory just collecting dust. Yeah. And it's like such a big mistake, dude.
Yeah, we started doing early on, we started just doing like as small of runs as possible. And like we did find like a manufacturer that could literally do like three small, seven mediums.
That's sick.
Like
that's great.
Like just we're like, hey, look, we want to make sure this sells so that we can give you reorders of like what's working. And that's basically how we went about it. We're like, let's order really cautiously for the launches, except like, hey, we might sell out of this because that's what we were buying to. Yeah. And then we can like add the units and make sure. Of course, like once you get into like a 2021 like high demand, dude, like it was painful. Like we were just sold out of our best stuff by the time June hit. So and that's where we started getting more serious about like open to buys, getting 4 months ahead, you know, really planning things out.
And so from Bali, where are you guys shipping the product to before the customer? Or are you direct shipping to customers?
So when we started 2015, honestly, like the first two or three years, like it was my mom as the shipping department out of my house.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was epic. Like I would go home for Thanksgiving and it was like all my shelves in my room would be like different SKUs.
That's so funny.
But, you know, obviously that lasted a certain point where like my mom's like, I'm literally working like more than a full-time amount of work. Like we've got to move this on. So then we got into like the 3PLs, like Ship Bob.
Okay.
And that was great when you're in the growing stages of your brand where you're like, hey, look, like it might not be the absolute best price that you can possibly get on like shipping and fulfillment. But with that said, like if we do 10 orders, if we do 100, if we do 1,000 orders in a day, like it'll happen and get out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're not worrying about staffing for that. So that was a big step. And then now we've moved to a more boutique warehouse in LA that does a great job. You actually might know him, Ryan Westberg.
Okay.
But it's great because it's kind of like we get more of like the custom touch. So it's like if we have like a VIP customer ordering, we're able to like get personal with that order, not like go through like the loopholes of, you know, like 12 different customer support agents.
Pros and cons. Like we have our own place in San Diego.
Yeah.
We have our own staff, which is good because like I could put hand-packed messages. Yeah. Just yesterday I had the guy print out QR codes, put on every single box, like scan to make $30. So like our influencer program, mm-hmm. right? Like Ship Bob's not going to be able to do that for me.
No.
Or they're going to charge me $10,000 to do it. So
absolutely.
I definitely see that. How's working with your mom? Is she still working on the business?
Oh, no. I mean, she's retired.
That's good.
retired from her, helping her son type of thing. But but with that said, I mean, you think back and like Canyon Flowers would not be where it was without that like initial like friend, family support. And like, I didn't know what I was doing with paid. I didn't know what paid marketing was for 2 years. Like it was literally friends going out, wearing it, having people ask, where'd you get that shirt? And like, that's how we saw that like initial growth. And that was like really like a special and cool time and something we try to like hold on to as a company and like create it at bigger scales.
I always remember when before CrossNet, we used to sell this thing called the Glunt, was like a glass blunt on the internet.
Oh my God.
And we also sold cookies that had melatonin in them. Mom would just bake chocolate chip cookies and put melatonin drops in them. And we'd sell them all across the internet.
Oh my God, it was crazy.
And it would only stay good for like a week, right? So she would just go to the post office, ship, like make cookies, come back home every single night.
That's awesome.
They were killing it. Yeah, she loved that job.
Man.
That's funny. How do you think about, so obviously you're, for people that don't know, your wife's pretty internet famous, at least to an extent, very well-known travel blogger.
Yeah.
I know for me when I'm traveling, like I'm here in New York for a week.
Yep.
It's hard to actually like, this is work, but this is not what actually pays the bills.
Right.
How do you think about that when you're traveling? Cause you are constantly on the move. Like how does the work schedule work?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So my wife, she's like a luxury travel blogger, Jet Set Christina. And we've really just like, you know, we found ways to make it work. Like we both support each other. Like I love helping her with her business as much as she loves helping. And she is like our head of women's now. Like any like bikini you see, like I did not design that. That was
so
like
she's working doing. She's on the brand.
Absolutely.
Now.
Okay. And we both make that happen. But like, it's really been interesting this last couple of years, like the rise of like working remote and like seeing people all of a sudden, like friends that would have never done this, like renting like a month house to like go work remote somewhere. And like Scottsdale or like Cabo or Miami or wherever. And like, we've really been doing that for a while. And it takes a lot of, I mean, it takes a lot of discipline. Like you get to places, you're traveling, they're amazing. And like, you just have to really like block out, like, when is the work time? When am I going to like actually go enjoy the place I am?
Yeah.
And for me, like a big challenge early on and still to date is like, when you think of Kenny Flowers, you don't think of like Kenny, like working behind a computer, a company. Like you're thinking like, he's got to be like on a beach with a pina colada in his hand, like living the dream. And the reality is like, yes, I do get to do that a bit. But like, I also, like those first couple of years, working way harder than any time at IBM. And like, as the business grows, as more happens, like you're just doing more. And like, I mean, I applaud you. Like, I know how hard you hustle and you're still like finding time to even like share what's going on. Like, I'm just like, damn, like classic, like, I wish I was sharing more on LinkedIn or more here. And it's just like, man, like it's good to kind of book that in, make sure you're like documenting, letting people know how you get there. I think that's super helpful for people to see.
How do you separate the Kenny and Christina relationship and the Kenny and Christina working relationship? Because that was hard for me. Lindsay started a company with me 5 years ago.
Yeah.
She just had her last day on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel a certain way about it because I've lost my best marketer and my head of brand. But I also got my future wife back. So it's like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you really just have to have those like turn the phone off times. And we're really good and we've gotten a lot of like discipline in that way. Like we've also acknowledged like sometimes our best ideas for Kenny Flowers, for Jet Set, like they come about when you're not working or don't mean to. So like, yeah, if we're having a little like on the porch wine happy hour, and business comes up, but it's like a good idea and something we can act on the next day, like we'll take note of that and run with it. But
how do you feel about just like, the employees being like, oh, is he favoring her? Or do you ever feel like that?
No, that's a great question. I mean, I really try to focus on like, look, like what makes every employee happy? And like, especially working remote, like that's just different for each person. And the reality is like the way that we have employees set up is like, there's people with skill sets that are better than me.
Yeah.
As a founder, like, you know, I've gotten my like hands dirty. I've done every aspect of the business so I can be a part of it. But then like when it comes to certain things, like our employees respect that Christina knows what to be doing in the women's space or how to market to female because she's going out and doing it and producing. So really at the end of the day, like I think it's like a big matchup, especially when you're working remote of just like, are you doing your job? Are you contributing to the team? One of the best things that came out of like our team like offsite earlier this year was people saying like, I get up and like work for everyone around this room, even though I'm not with them. And like any successful team, like that's how you succeed. Like you're not just doing it for yourself. Like you're doing it for people around you. You don't want to screw over your friend in forecasting or your like customer success person. Or, you know, it's just all go, go, go. And like working together.
Yeah. It's been tough for us. Like, so I have two other founders, right? Yeah. And it's like, hey, Lindsay's crushing it. Oh. She deserves a 10K pay raise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, dude, that 10K is going to your family income.
Yeah, right.
You know, is she getting the 10K pay raise or am I getting the 10K? It's like, those have been hard things that I've dealt with.
Yeah.
And then like, hey, we're traveling, we're on a vacation and I can't answer employees right now because I'm doing a podcast, right?
Right.
Like, I'm sure people are trying to report to you and you're on a podcast right now. Like, how do you think about that and like make the time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really tricky thing because like you want to be a leader of the company. You want to like show people how you do things, but like—
And you're sipping pina coladas right at 2:00.
Occasionally. And sometimes I have to be like, hey, look, we're on a trip to Mexico, but we're wearing our new collection. Like if I'm worried about like what's going on in like, you know, the marketing department, if I'm worried about like this ops issue popping up at the warehouse, like it's not going to be the brand presenting itself the best way. So like we've really established some like guidelines. And of course, like there's fires every day.
Yeah,
like there have to be. If not, like something is going to be a bigger fire soon. But yeah, when we're on vacation, you know, I really just have to be like transparent, communicate as best I can. Like, look, we're here 5 days. These 2 days, I'm like full work mode. These 2 days, I'm really trying to be like on kind of like vacation slash content.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah, we're doing the honeymoon for 2 weeks. And yeah. I'm like, my mind is already starting to race of like, how am I going to tell my team you are not going to talk to me for 2 weeks? Like, yeah. I've never done that in 5 years. So,
dude, I was there on my honeymoon in Italy last year, and it was the same thing. Yeah. And, you know, there's certain levels where like people do step up, and there's other things of like, hey, the boss is out. I'm going to get a little, you know, lazier per se, or slack off a bit. And it is a tricky thing to happen. I mean, for us, what was really tough about last year was basically, you know, like iOS 14 that's hitting.
I want to hit it
in like
that too.
May. Yeah, we'll definitely get more into it. But like, what was it, like May, June time?
Yeah.
I got married July 3rd, and then we were on our honeymoon all of July. It was our high season. So like naturally, like our customers, like the intent to purchase was higher. So like, we really didn't like notice on paper the iOS impact until like I was back from the honeymoon in like late July. And it's just like, wait a second, what's going on now? Yeah. Like what just happened? Exactly. And like, this is a different business. We have to think differently. Like you gotta adjust.
Dude, rip on that for a little bit. So obviously acquisition costs are going up. It's harder to target customers. You guys are crushing on influencers. I don't want to give your answer away, but I see a lot with influencers, right? We were talking about Portnoy last night, Young Gravy. I was looking at the Instagram before you came, and like, how are you making that happen? Are those paid collaborations? Like, where's your head at?
Influencers like haven't really been paid collaborations. I mean, I would say we're not like experts at how to execute like a paid influencer thing. And it's like a pretty wild space. But what we do know is like the influencers we're working with, like we know them wearing our shirts or our bikinis, like it's going to set them up to do their job better and to thrive. Like, like a Young Gravy, he's been wearing like our long sleeve leopard print shirt, like left and right. But it's like, that's Young Gravy. That's who he is. He's like wearing Kenny Flowers and he's thriving doing his thing. Same with like Dave Portnoy. And like, he rocked that like leopard print cabana set of ours back in like 2020 with the pizza in hand. And that like took over the internet.
Yeah.
And it was amazing for us. He literally helped us as a small business get through a super challenging time.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of it, like we helped him get insane reach. If he was just wearing a black t-shirt, like people wouldn't have been reacting in the comments. I mean, we dropped like easily 100, 200 comments. Like a day on that post for like a week, because it was just people being, where do I get that? Where do I get that? Instagram seeing that, it's feeding it out to millions more people. Yeah. He's getting what he needs, which is attention and audience. And he's just crushing it. So for us, it's like really about setting people up to just have a good time, do their thing, and let the kind of business aspects fall into place. With that said though, like when you're a business that's doing well and 2018, 19, 20, 21, and like all of a sudden there's this huge shakeup on like what most of your marketing budget's going to. You have to start getting creative and start figuring out new ways to get in front of your customer.
Absolutely.
And for us with marketing, and it's like, this goes true for any business. Where are your customers? How are you in front of them? How do they feel like you're everywhere?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, absolutely.
So think through like, you know, a target customer of ours, like this isn't our only target customer, but take like, you know, Jenna, she's 29. She's recently engaged. She's about to go on her bachelorette party. What podcasts are she listening, you know, is she listening to? What influencers is she following on figuring out where she wants to maybe honeymoon? Where, you know, like, and Jet Set Christina might be like a part of that. And like, we're thinking through these things and trying to just be where our customers are. And like, you know, there's certain companies, like a good example is like my grandma has like a scarf business that she runs out of Bali. And it's like, you know, she's amazing. She's trying to do like TikTok and like Instagram and stuff. But I'm like, your audience is literally your Facebook friends.
Yeah, right.
Like, just post about it on Facebook. Like, that's where they're at.
Exactly.
So it's really just understanding that and like hopping
to
that beat.
Makes sense. It's a great time for our sponsor. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris from CrossNet. I got to tell you about Gorgeous, the best Shopify app I've ever installed. It's literally an easy-to-use customer service app that my team over in the Philippines, in Australia, Europe, and the United States are all on and collaborating. We can do customer service tickets on Facebook, Instagram, live chat. And the coolest thing, I had been hounding a Dick's Sporting Goods buyer to send us a purchase order for almost 5 months. Never got back to me. Guess what? He sent me over a $500,000 purchase order through a Gorgeous chat box. Thank you so much, Gorgeous. You have literally saved my company's life, and you are the best app I've ever installed. Get it now at gorgeous.com. Boom. Cool. Do you think this business would run successfully and launch off the ground in 2022?
I think it would look differently, man. Yeah. I mean, like, we just had that founders dinner last night.
Yeah.
I was talking to like 22-year-old entrepreneurs and they're just speaking a different language. Like their business is like Kickstarter, make a sick TikTok or two like a day. And like they're booking pre-orders like crazy. So I think it's like, I mean, I think it would start the same way because, you know, right now we're all trying to figure out how do we rely less on paid advertising.
Exactly.
Our first couple of years, we had no paid advertising.
Yeah.
We were just like creating the best product we could, making sure people were set up to have a good time. And like when people did wear it on their honeymoon or wear it traveling in Egypt, like we would celebrate that. We would share that and that would spread. So I think in terms of like how we started, yeah, that's like a great way to go about it. How you scale from there, I think now it's just like such a wild west. Like
exactly.
You have brands saying like, do we have to figure out TikTok? Do we have to cover our asses and get more into wholesale?
Exactly.
Like those are two very different businesses.
Absolutely.
And if you try to do both of those half-assed, like you're gonna fail at both, really.
So tough.
So that's kind of like where we're at right now is like, what is our best way forward? Like from a like focus perspective. Because I'm sure you've been there where you have 20 new marketing
ideas.
Dude,
I'm there every day.
And
so frustrating.
One out of 20 maybe make it through and like, but by doing that, you're tired like from running those versus like, hey, if we want to focus on like affiliate and getting in like holiday gift guides, like how do we get after that? And like, is it a PR company or is it like being the founder of the company, reaching out to people on Instagram or LinkedIn or like just getting real with people in like a different way than they're usually approached? So
I think if I could leave anybody like listening with this is like, you have all these crazy ideas. I mean, you could sit down at a coffee shop, make 20 ideas for Kenny Flowers and CrossNet.
Right.
And they're probably all great ideas. Yeah. But you got to find two or three of them and go all in.
Yeah.
Because if you go all in on 20 of them, you're only going to get to like the 5% threshold, right? If you get to, if you go all in on three, one of the three is going to work and the business is going to be better.
Oh,
but if you do all 20, you're just going to piss away money. You're never going to know what it's actually working.
Right.
And you're in the same spot that you're in right now.
I think that's a really good point. When you have 20 things going on, you don't know what's actually working.
That's
you know,
very
a lot
true.
Of people
makes
talk
a lot of
about
sense.
Like, what's our blended ROAS? Like,
yeah.
We know we're throwing all these marketing things to happen. Like,
exactly.
But what happens if you take away your Pinterest ads?
Yeah.
Does that butcher your business or does it literally do better because you're not spending that money because those people are also seeing you on Instagram,
exactly.
on like your emails, you know? So I think like you said, it's really about like honing in on like what are the things that we feel most confident that you can actually see coming to life.
Yeah.
Get everyone focused on that.
I love that.
Get your smartest people at the company going, thinking through it from different angles and like, yeah.
Exactly. So, dude, we could talk all day long.
I know. I know.
I don't even know how long we've been going, but I've loved every second of it.
Yeah.
If you could tell your young Kenny something
about
starting the business, what would you tell him?
I mean, I tried to do this on my own getting started. Like, yes, I had a buddy that was helping out with like the tech stuff I didn't know back home, but like, it's all about helping like figure out where your weaknesses are and getting help with those right away. Like, yes, I've been super pumped and excited on how Kenny Flowers has grown over the years, but like we could have accelerated earlier on. Not saying that would have been the best path forward, but if I had more help early on, or if more people were kind of like doing the things I can't do, like you and your brother, like you guys crush it. You got different skill sets, you're doing different things.
Yeah.
And on my side, like, am I the best person to be running all the Excels, to be like in operations? Maybe not. Am I the best person to be like focused on like creating the absolute best shirts possible, getting them out there, getting them to the people, having those conversations, building relationships with, the next round of influencers?
Exactly.
You know, that's what you gotta be doing.
I love that.
So my biggest advice is like, is definitely just like figure out what is taking up your time that you're not as good at.
Exactly.
And get help there because that's how your business will thrive quick.
Love that, dude. Thanks so much for coming on, dude.
Sure.
Talk to you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you, bro. So I started my biggest lessons because we need to share more of the learnings, more of the ups, more of the mistakes. Everybody's flexing on Twitter and Instagram about their new Rolls Royce or their Bentleys, right? That's not real life. We're grinding. We're up crying late at night. How are we going to pay our employees? How are we going to make payroll, right? Those are real life stories that are being shared here. If you enjoyed that, check out our podcast now at Apple. If you enjoyed that, there's more episodes waiting for you over at Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.